At 27 years of age, Benjamin Franklin became convinced that he was, in his own words, a moral mediocrity. I hear some chuckles. I think people know some things about Benjamin Franklin, right? He was a moral mediocrity. He was disgruntled with the disorder in his life. He felt that he needed to be more frugal in his life. He was frustrated by the productivity in his life. And so he set out on a project that he called moral perfection. Sounds like a big project, right? Moral perfection. So he made a list of 12 areas in his life, 12 characteristics he needed to work on, 12 actions, 12 attitudes that he needed to work on to improve his life. And so when he completed this list of 12, he took it to a friend of his, and he asked his friend to take a look at his list. And his friend said to him, I think something that might have surprised Benjamin Franklin, he said, Benjamin, these things are good. However, there's something that you have left off the list that you need to work on. And his friend said, this is the way you come across. You come across as prideful, and you come across as arrogant, and it shows up frequently in your conversations. And so he probably had to hurt Benjamin Franklin a little bit, but he took that advice to heart, and he concluded that humility needed to be the 13th virtue in his project, in his quest for moral perfection. He realized that in part, at a young age, the reason he had not been as successful as he could have been, the reason he wasn't the leader that he could have been and eventually would be, is because his pridefulness was a blemish on his character. And people were noticing it, and it is probably one of the reasons why he felt like he was a moral mediocrity. His lack of humility had damaged his relationships, and it kept him from being a tremendous leader. Well, pride, men, is the issue this morning. Pride, the cause of disunity, the cause of dysfunction, the cause of conflict in our lives. And it's the cause of damage to relationships. It's the cause of broken relationships. You know, relationships are important. And that's why Apostle Paul wrote these words in Philippians, where we're going to be this morning. This is what he wrote. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Paul was reminding us relationships are really important. And he goes on to use Jesus Christ as the perfect example of humility. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. Turn in your Bibles, if you have one, to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, or he emptied himself by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. The situation that Paul was addressing was disunity of the church there at Philippi. There, apparently there were two women who were arguing, and they were causing an uproar in the church. And Paul, as the leader, knew that he needed to address that situation. And this is how he did. He brought to mind Jesus Christ and said to them, relationships are important. And in those relationships, I want you to have the same attitude that Christ has. That was his attitude. This should be your attitude. So the question is then, what was Christ's attitude? And you already looked at the passage with me. What is the answer to the question? Was his supreme what?
Humility.
It was his supreme humility. So Paul chose to address the situation by using the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He used the condescension of the second person of the Trinity, God himself, who became a man, to teach us about humility. We look at the text, and certainly it is theologically profound. There's so much in that text about our Christian beliefs and about who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. But Paul primarily here was not teaching theology. He was teaching an object lesson. He was using it as an illustration to teach us about humility. And that is what he's doing in verse 5. The main point there is not to identify that God became man, but to show that in God becoming man, there is the ultimate illustration of humility. You think about what Jesus endured. You think about what he did on our behalf. And it should move you. It should move you in a very profound way. Because the amount of humility he showed is beyond human conception. So Jesus had this pattern of humility, and we are to follow this pattern of humility as well. John said in chapter 2, verse 6, the one who says he abides in Christ, in other words, the one who says he follows Christ, ought to walk in the same manner as he walked. What does that mean? If you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then you ought to do what he did. He walked this way, we should walk that way. There's a pattern that's been established for us, and as leaders, we don't ignore that pattern. We acknowledge that pattern, and we follow that pattern. And so what was his pattern? Self-sacrifice, self-denial, self-giving, and humble love. So why is Paul talking about humility right now? And the answer to the question is found in the verses just preceding this. Look at Philippians 2. Look at Philippians 2, verse 3. Paul's talking to these people and says, don't do anything from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So he just told them, you need to stop being selfish. You need to stop thinking about only yourself. You need to start looking out for the interests of others. And Paul says, look at the example of Jesus Christ. Who in this world did a better job of looking out for the interests of others? No one. He was the ultimate servant. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He showed supreme humility in what he did. So Paul says, this is the way you should act. And how then are you going to do it? You do it by following the example of Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves as Jesus Christ has, who though he existed in the form, he was God, existing in the form of a man, but he didn't take that position that he had and hold it over people's heads. He didn't enjoy all the privileges that he could have enjoyed as God incarnate. He shed himself of the rights and the privileges that he had so that he could become a servant. And the pastor says, the passage says not only does he become a servant, he became a bondservant. In other words, that word, doulos, is what? Slave. He became a slave to us to serve us in the way that we needed to be served. In other words, to do for us something that we could never do for ourselves, men. That's the ultimate act of human sacrifice, isn't it? That's the ultimate human service. His humility was tremendous. He gave up his glory, his authority, his divine nature, his union with God. He gave up a perfect existence in heaven to come down and to serve us, to serve mankind as a slave. This God-man went from king to slave by his own choice to serve us. And then he went farther than that, didn't he? Even to death on a cross. It's an amazing example of humility. So Paul then uses Christ's condescension to teach us about humility. The problem that Paul was addressing was strife in the church, causing disunity. Disunity, man, it's a destroyer, isn't it? I think over the years, I've had the opportunity to do a lot of counseling, marriage counseling, family counseling, business advising. And there is a common thread that runs through almost every single interaction that I've had. And here's what it is. It's always pridefulness. The root of the problems always come down to selfishness. They always come down to a lack of humility. It is the root problem for almost every situation that I've come across. It just destroys. A lack of humility destroys it, divides it, sets people against one another. It ruins marriages. It ruins relationships. It ruins families. It ruins partnerships. It's a destroyer, isn't it, guys? You think about your own life. Think about some of the experiences that you have had. And think about times when there was tension. Think about times when there was disunity. You just trace that back to one thing. Somebody said, "What about me? What about my rights?" Right, men? What about my stuff? What about my happiness? It comes down to that so many times, and it is selfishness. Why do I always have to be the one to give in? Well, Proverbs 18:12 gives us a little bit of a help here. This is what it says. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. If you think about it for a moment, isn't it true? Selfish pride does lead to downfall, but the writer of Proverbs says, humility brings peace, humility brings honor, humility brings unity, and it does. Benjamin Franklin, I wonder if he was influenced by the example of Jesus Christ. You know, their day, they knew the Bible. They read the Bible. It was part of their education. I wonder if he was influenced by Christ's example. Later on in his life, he wrote, "Humility was elusive but worth the effort. It made me," he wrote later in his life after he had abandoned his quest for perfection, "said less quick with a harsh word and more ready to listen." It taught him some lessons. And what was the result in Benjamin Franklin's life? He became one of the greatest statesmen in our country. He was the oldest signer of the Constitution and the most respected man in the room in that day. And he points back to the time in his life where he realized that I was an arrogant jerk. People didn't like me. He changed his behavior, and it changed the trajectory of his life. And he was very glad that he did that because, he said, I was more ready to listen. Relationships are important, aren't they, men? They're where God gives us the opportunity to witness to people, to mentor people, to train people, to pour our lives into other men. That's what we're doing here at Friday Morning Men's Fellowship. That's what's happening at the table, right? It's about relationships. It's where we become the kind of leaders that we need to be in our marriage, in our relationships, in our family, our business, our community, right? You've heard this over and over from us, is what we are doing here. And that's why Paul wrote those words in the beginning of the passage that we read. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude as Christ Jesus and men. What was that attitude? Humility. Humility. Let's be men of humility. That is Paul's lesson for us. His leadership standard shared with us today is be men of humility, because men of humility are better leaders and they're more useful in the kingdom. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for what you did, God the Son, condescending down to become a man just like us in the same appearance and displaying the most tremendous act of humility to save us from our sins. Father, I thank you that Paul chose that example to teach us about humility, that God came down as a perfect man to demonstrate to us what a man should be like. May we learn that lesson today, Father. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus our Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Guys, have a good time at your table. Be humble leaders.